I can tell that the service is going to run late today, and so if you care not to stay for communion and need to get on to another appointment, there are two ways you can do this. In the middle of the sermon, you can stand up and throw your hymnal down on the pew and stomp out, or at the hymn right before the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. That would be a good opportunity for you if you need to leave to go then. I prefer one over the other, but you decide which. The second reading is also from the writings of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. It's from the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. I'm going to be skipping around a little bit in the verses. I'm going to read 4 to 6, 14 to 16, and 22 to 32. This is the word of the Lord. There is one body and one spirit, verse 4. Just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Skipping down to verse 14. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. And then verse 22. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourself with the new self created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, put away falsehood. Let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are all members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Two opening statements. One, when we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we are recognizing that we are celebrating our communion with God through Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But we are also celebrating our communion with one another. For we are the body of Christ now in the world. Secondly, this verse of Scripture, which Gretchen read earlier. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. We had a visitor in our staff meeting this week. It was Theodore Anderson, who you might know is the son of our associate pastor, Rosanna Anderson, and her husband, Clifford Anderson. He captivated us. We even did get some work done during the staff meeting. Theodore and I have, on a couple of occasions, we've developed our kind of own language with each other. What we do is, on our first meeting, which was in the stroller in the park where we started really talking to each other, is I would go like this, and Theodore would blow raspberries back at me, as you understand what I just did. Well, what he does now is I can always get him to smile by just going like this. Blowing raspberries, and he smiles, his face lights up. It's our own kind of language. But how would it feel to you if, while you were leaving church today, and you greeted me, and you had a concern that, boy, I'm either just too hot in this building or just too darn cold. This is hypothetically speaking, of course. And instead of listening patiently to what you said, we're telling you that if you're too hot, sit in the middle sections of the sanctuary. If you're too cold, sit under the balconies. That's the way the airflow happens. But if instead of that, what if I said to you, and again, this is purely hypothetical, not that either of us would ever think this way. Well, a language that works for the little baby, a childish language, blowing raspberries at one another, does not work as an adult language. When we talk to each other, it's not a good thing, in case you don't know this, to blow raspberries at somebody who's talking to you. We know that. Because we have put away, we have let go of, we have stopped doing that which was childish. And now we are adults. We need to be mature. Now, all of us as adults are at various levels of maturity. This is probably no surprise to you either. And some of us still, from time to time, have childlike behavior. We do childlike things. We say childlike things. But the goal is for us to continue to grow and become mature. Well, this whole chapter of Ephesians 4 is all about the growth of the body of Christ, which is us, the church, growing in maturity. The gifts of the Spirit that are given, the Apostle Paul says, and the call to service of ministry, like the call we recognize to be an elder in the church, is so that the whole body will have what it needs to function and to be built up in a mature way. We are fed by God's Word. We are fed at the table of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And it's a wonderful exercise for you, and I recommend it to you to read this chapter over on your own and keep noting those aspects of growing up into maturity. There's a number of things we could talk about, but I want to just single out two that the Apostle Paul talks about. One of them he mentions about growing in maturity has to do with anger. In verse 31 and 32, the Apostle Paul tells us to put away from us all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. And then in verse 26 and 27, he says, the Apostle Paul says this to us: be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not make room for the devil. There's very good practical advice in there. It doesn't say that it's a sin to be angry. Angry is a natural emotion. Sometimes when, you know, to say to someone, stop being angry, is like saying to them, stop perspiring. I mean, it just might be something it's an emotion. But what may be sinful, or what may build up the body or tear down the body of Christ, which is us, the church, is how we handle our anger. Yes, we can be angry, but still not sin towards one another or towards the whole body. But not only does the Apostle Paul tell us that, in all of this chapter, he not only tells us what we're to stop doing, but he tells us what we need to be doing. He says, thieves, don't just stop stealing, but get a good job, a useful job, so that you can make a contribution. So don't just stop being angry and treating each other angrily. Be angry, but do not sin. But put away bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander together with all malice, and positively be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. See, being mature, growing in maturity, is not just stopping childish things. That's certainly a part of it. But being mature means growing in maturity. The apostle often, or in a couple places in the New Testament, uses the imagery of casting off the old self, almost as, and literally he does use the imagery of clothing, taking off the old clothing which no longer fits us, which no longer suits us. Imagine putting on and trying to live in the clothing that you lived in as a child. Sorry for the visual I just gave you. George, it's warm, it seems warm in here to me. How is it out there for everybody? Perfect. Okay, well, there you go. Okay. Some people say the minister's robe should always be worn while preaching, and I don't want to offend anybody, so if you feel that way, here it is. You can wear it. Thank you. So we need to put on, we need to take off that which is uncomfortable and put on the air conditioning. Put something else on. Put on those positive qualities. Anger. We could talk more and more about that, but there's one other I want to get to and we're already running late. To be mature means to not speak the language of children. Not giving raspberries, but rather to speak the truth. To speak maturely. The Apostle Paul tells us a couple of times, look at verse 25. So then, putting away falsehood, see, that's what you're to take off. Don't treat each other in a false way. Let us all speak the truth to our neighbors. For we are all members of one another. And I'll just remind you that speaking the truth to one another, the verse that comes right after that is, be angry, but do not sin. Because a lot of the way our anger is expressed to someone in a way that tears that person down is through the words we say. Proverbs tells us the tongue has the power of life and death. James tells us the tongue is from the fires of hell, or can be. We can tear down or we can build up into maturity. Verse 15, the apostle tells us in this section, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. The body's growth at the end of the next verse in building itself up in love. We have the opportunity to tear down or to build up one another in the words we say to each other. A remarkable verse that stood out, just jumped out to me. And so many times I've read this chapter and even preached on this chapter, but as happens every so often, something new just jumps out from the text. And for me, it's verse 29. And here we're getting near the end. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths. There's the thing to stop. But only what is useful for building up as there is need. You get this theme over and over and over again. And then this section. I love this phrase. So that your words may give grace to those who hear. Isn't that a wonderful image to think about the words that you're saying, that we say to each other, as actually something that God uses to convey grace to another person? Instead of criticizing someone, instead of being angry with them and wanting to tear them down so that the most important thing is that you get that anger out of you and make sure that it's expressed. I just have to share this with you. How many times have we heard that? Instead, to think, to even think and be intentional, without even having to say it, but to say it in our heads, I want to share grace with you. So this is what I'm going to tell you. Letting our words give grace to those who hear us speak. Well, to be mature means that sometimes you just have to let go. There's a lot of things in life, and I won't belabor this. We talked about this a number of weeks ago, that in order to grow, we just have to let go of. Anger and resentment against other people, it doesn't do anything to them. It hurts us. Holding on, even the example is holding on to our children when they trying to hold on to them as their adults. Adolescence is the process of letting go. We don't help them by not letting them go. There's so many other areas of life. Those of our loved ones who have passed away, it's normal to grieve for them. But at some point, we have to let them go. And for us, not for them. They're already in God's hands. We can contribute to them in no other way. But we're limiting our own growth by not letting go. And then in all those areas out of which we let go, we need to think about, well, what does God want me to replace that in my life? If I have a problem with anger, what does God want me to replace that anger with? If I speak too harshly to people, and I had to learn this about my own self, my own presence, is until you kind of get to know me, and this actually happened within the congregation, I come across as being too intense and maybe sarcastic and maybe aloof and all of that. You may say, well, maybe, no, you don't. But yes, I do sometimes. How much pain I could have stop this congregation from heaven if I had only learned that earlier. I had to work, I still work, sorry, on letting go and replacing. Last line. You can't grow if you don't let go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.